Today we are very fortunate to have His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, and Verse Number 6. So, Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, all glory to you. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Maharaj. Thank you so much for giving your valuable association and time. Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shri Bhakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Puchari Name Near Vishesa Sunyavadi Pastyatyare Sitarine Mancha Kalpata Rubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Petitanam Pavane Bio Vaishnave Bio Namaha Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. So we'll go right to the translation. When it's the prose, we generally don't chant the prose, so we just write the translation. Okay, Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear King Prince Priyavrat. My dear King, Prince Priyavrat was a great devotee because he sought the lotus feet of Narada, his spiritual master, and thus achieved the highest perfection of transcendental knowledge. With advanced knowledge, he always engaged in discussing spiritual subjects and did not divert his attention to anyone else. The prince's father then asked him to take charge of ruling the world. He tried to convince Priyavrata that this was his duty as indicated in the revealed scriptures. Prince Priyavrata, however, was continuously practicing bhakti yoga by constantly remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus engaging all his senses in the service of the Lord. Therefore, although the order of the father could not be rejected, the prince did not welcome it. Thus, he very conscientiously raised the question of whether he might be diverted from devotional service by accepting the responsibility of ruling over the world. So can we have a volunteer for reading the purport?
Hare Krishna, I can read it, Maharaj.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. So Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payeche Keba. Without serving the lotus feet of a pure Vaishnava or spiritual master, no one has ever attained perfect liberation from material bondage. Prince Priyavrata regularly served the lotus feet of Narada, and thus the prince perfectly understood transcendental subjects and truth, Sat Tattvaha. The word Sat Tattvaha means that Priyavrata knew all the facts about the spirit soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he also knew all about this material world and the relationship.
Wait, you skipped a line.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, the word Sat-Tattvaha means that Priyavrata knew all the facts about the spirit soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the relationship between the spirit soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he also knew all about this material world and the relationship of the spirit soul and the Supreme Lord within the material world. Thus, the prince decided to engage himself only in rendering service to the Lord. when Priyavrata's father, Swayambhuva Manu, I'm so sorry, requested him to accept the responsibility of ruling over the world, he did not welcome the suggestion. This is the symptom of a great liberated devotee. Even though engaged in worldly affairs, he does not take pleasure in them, but remains always absorbed in the Lord's service. While thus serving the Lord, he deals externally with worldly affairs without being affected. For example, although he has no attraction for his children, he cares for them and educates them to become devotees. Similarly, he speaks to his wife with affectionate words, but he is not attached to her. By rendering devotional service, a devotee acquires all the good qualities of the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna had 16,000 wives, all of them very beautiful. And although he dealt with each of them as a beloved husband, he was not attracted or attached to any of them. In the same way, although a devotee may enter family life and act very affectionately toward his wife and children, he is never attached to these activities. This verse states that by serving the lotus feet of his spiritual master, Prince Priyavrata very soon attained the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness. This is the only way to advance in spiritual life. As stated in the Vedas, yasya deva para bhaktir yata deva tata gura, tashyati katita yatar hyar aha.
I'll say the verse. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata gurum tasyaita katita yata prakasananta mahatmanaha. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
It's one of my favorite verses. That's why I wanted to say it.
Wonderful. One has unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master. The essence of all Vedic knowledge is revealed to him. Swetasvatara Upanishad 6:23. A devotee always thinks of the Lord continuously. While chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the words Krishna and Hare immediately remind him of all the Lord's activities. Since his entire life is engaged in the service of the Lord, a devotee cannot forget the Lord at any time. Just as an ordinary man always engages his mind in material activities, a devotee always engages his mind in spiritual activities. This is called Brahmasatra, or meditating upon the Supreme Lord always. Prince Priyavrata was perfectly initiated into this practice by Sri Narada. Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada ki jai. But Madhvi, you can keep the verse up. Pavitra Madhvi, please keep the verse up. Okay, so nice. Yeah, that's nice too. So sometimes we find that devotees ask, well, you know, I have material responsibilities, I have my... I have my job, I have to take care of the house, the affairs of the house, I have to pay the bills, I have to make sure the kids are getting what they need. And I don't have any time for my spiritual life. Or how do I understand these things in the relationship to my practice of spiritual life? Well, this verse is, and the purport gives you the answer. That one should practice this mood of bhakti. And that practice only becomes successful when one gets attached to Krishna. Attachment to Krishna develops on a certain stage of our practice, but we can become attached to Krishna fast if I continually practice in the mood of hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna, and especially chanting the holy names of the Lord. So material affairs do not have to interfere with one's spiritual practice. When one can see everything in relationship to the Lord, the question of I in mind is where we get stuck. we identify with ourselves according to the I principle. I am this body. I am female. I am male. Whatever you can attach to the I principle, I am from, you know, this country. These are what we say upadis, and they're called designations, which are not actually real because they don't stand the test of time. The understanding is our relationship with Krishna is eternal. It's never been lost, and it can never be lost. It can only be forgotten. And therefore, by getting attached to Krishna, we can still live in this world, but not be worldly minded. And this verse explains that one has to detach themselves from deriving happiness from material activities. We may have to engage in activities that are related to the body, such as family and occupation, but one should not be attached to the results. One should do it as a form of duty, and one should carry it out in the best possible way. Now, that may seem to be difficult for those of us who are practicing Krishna consciousness. How do you not get attached to these things or the results of the activities of these things? Well, there's only one way. You have to get attached to Krishna. Attachment, detachment work together. You can't just detach yourself from something and expect that to maintain. It won't maintain itself. One has to attach themselves to something higher, something better. The Mayavadis, Jnanis, even the Yogis, they work very diligently through various types of spiritual practices to detach themselves from material activities and from the results of material activities. But they can't remain because they don't attach themselves to Krishna. Aruna Krishna Padam Padam Patantiyadam Nadritya Usmam Ahangrayaha. This verse says that these persons, the jnanis, the yogis, those who are of different categories of jnanis and yogis, there's so many different categories of these, they rise, they can rise very high on the spiritual platform, but patantiyada, the verse says they fall down. Why? They haven't developed attachment to the lotus feet of the Lord. So we see here, Prince Priyavrata, he had reached the perfectional stage. He was attached to Krishna. He was absorbed in Krishna. He was performing his sadhana in a spontaneous way every day. He was a powerful yogi. And he was a bhakti yogi. But now he's asked by his spiritual master, Narada Muni, to take up this business of ruling the world, because at that particular time there was no one to do it. And he is the son of King Uttanapada. King Uttanapada's father is Swayambhuva Manu. So Dhruva Maharaj went back home, back to Godhead. So now there was no one to rule the world. So now he was next in line, but he didn't want it because he was completely fixed in Krishna consciousness. He was thinking this is a disturbance. But there's a Vedic injunction that one cannot disobey the orders of one's father. One's father and mother are seen as one's spiritual teacher, and they're considered superior, they're considered to be worshipable. So one cannot disobey their orders. But here, it says he didn't disobey, but he was thinking, how can I do this? How can I take up this responsibility which is being asked of me, and at the same time, practice my Krishna consciousness? actually, he didn't want to do it. He had no desire. He was going to take on a very huge responsibility with great grandeur and a lot of prestige coming with that service. But he had no interest in it all. Finally, of course, you will learn as the verses go on that Narada Muni didn't press him. He left them alone. But then Lord Brahma came and asked him to do the service. And when Lord Brahma came, he eventually took up the service. But and you'll see what happened as he took up the service. I won't reveal all of these things in this particular time period. But this is one should not give up their worldly responsibilities if they still need to be taken care of. One can detach themselves from family life completely and move on into another ashram, such as vanaprastha and eventually sannyas, only when all of the family duties are, what we say, taken care of. If the family duties are not taken care of, one should stay in the ashram and practice detachment. We find that in Kali Yuga, people can't do that. They get attached to their children, they get attached to their families, they get attached to everything they do, even devotees. We find that there's a sense of attachment. And if something changes, they feel lost, or they feel like they have to regain something. And that's the nature of anything material. It will change and it will eventually leave us. So that's one of the inspirations that a devotee gets for taking up Krishna consciousness, is that all worldly attachments and the results that come from such attachments, such as the happiness that comes from these things, are that'll all be lost in time. So a devotee is not really so enthusiastic about material responsibilities. And you'll find, and you'll see, King Priyavrata, or Prince Priyavrata was, he had reached that stage where he had no taste for anything material. One of the characters... One of the characteristics of the devotee practicing Krishna consciousness is that they start to find that their material activities start losing color. They start to fade. What it means is they don't really have a taste for it anymore. But that's normal. But for us, those of us who are still practicing in grihastha life and have responsibilities yet, here, this verse is you should study this verse and understand how to develop the detachment. At the same time, take care of one's responsibilities. And in certain rare cases, when one gets so attached to Krishna, then one will just automatically leave the family and go and practice Krishna consciousness at a holy place like that. But that requires some careful understanding of the situation before one. But this point, the thing is that any attachment in this material world causes one to take another birth in this material world. Whatever little attachments we may have for anything material, no matter how dear to us as us, it causes us to again recycle in the path of birth and death. So therefore, one has to continue to become attached to Krishna more and more. And Prabhupada ends by saying that a devotee, when he chants, he always thinks of Krishna. He always thinks of Srimati Radharani. He's always thinking of Krishna, whatever he does. Everything reminds him of Krishna. He tries, he sees Krishna within everything, and he sees that everything is coming from Krishna. So a devotee who is practicing Krishna consciousness properly is always in connection with Krishna, either through his energy, by realizing the nature of the energy as being non-different than Krishna, and or directly, which is more powerful, by chanting the holy names of the Lord and remembering the Lord in devotional service. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada takes some time to quote this verse, yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru tasyaita bhakti kati te gyarta prakasanatra prakasanate mahatmanaham. This is a really powerful verse. Now the word unflinching faith really cements this whole particular point. That faith that is called strata. Strata means firm faith. That first faith is not broken by circumstance. One has complete faith in the words of the Lord and the spiritual master. Then even if one doesn't study or even know all the Vedic knowledge, still one becomes Vedarata, Vedapararata. In other words, one becomes expert at the Vedas. Why? Because they understood the conclusion of the Vedas. As Krishna says, the conclusion of the Vedas is to serve me, to know me, and to develop attraction for me, as Krishna says. So as we practice our devotional service, we should be practicing our devotional service with a desire to get detached from these things. If we're just going on day to day in our activities and not consciously trying to detach ourselves from the material attachments and attach ourselves to Krishna, then we won't be able to get much benefit from our spiritual activities. One has to become what we say. One has to accept that I am not in a good position now, even though you may be. You should never be satisfied with whatever position you're in, and you should be thinking how to move to the next stage. And moving to the next stage means focusing on how we can execute our devotional service with the goal in mind. I want to chant offenselessly. I want to worship the deity in the best possible way, giving my devotion to the Lord. In other words, one should be determined to accept a particular goal that is higher than where we are right now. If we don't do that, then our service will vacillate, and eventually we may also leave devotional service. We always have to be pushing forward, pushing forward, pushing forward. It's not something you can wait to happen. It's proactive. And pushing forward means keeping the mind connected to the activities of devotional service every minute. Okay. And that way one can still take care of material activities and not be, what we say, affected by it. One can catch the big fish without getting wet. Okay, so we'll stop here and see if there's any discussion.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for enlightening us. And you make us understand like how to balance life, like how to get attached and at the same time get detached from our worldly duties, but to get attached to Krishna. And yes, Maharaj, you explained so nicely. It was so wonderful to hear about because it is much related to our life. As a grastha, we are always in the dilemma, or we are in this situation only. So thank you so much, Maharaj. So I will request devotees, if they have any question, they can go now. Thank you.
I'm sure devotees are struggling with this particular feature of devotional practice. So please think about where your energy is being applied and what is your struggle. So give it a, so based on that, you may present a question or a comment.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to you, Maharaj. Maharaj, this is a very, very wonderful topic and very applicable to the Grihasthas who are very much with interacting with social life and family members. Maharaj, I have a question in the sense that we deal with our children and we try to develop the mentality that these are the, you know, a gift from Krishna for under our care. And at the same time, when we do that, we do get attached to them as well while we are doing our devotional service as well. So how do we find
that? You can be attached to them. That's okay. That attachment shouldn't lead you away from Krishna consciousness. That's the point. And that attachment comes by seeing that they are actually part and parcel of Krishna. They're pure spirit souls who have been given to you as a responsibility to serve. So you can guide them. As it says in the as in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, one should not become father. One should not become mother. One should not become teacher. One should not become guru. If they cannot deliver their followers, their children, their disciples from the cycle of birth and death, it's a great responsibility to take on a position of taking care of others where they depend on you. So therefore, as a service to the Lord, that responsibility is given utmost importance. So if you carry it out in that way, and affection is for them as part and parcel of Krishna. So you can have affection because they belong to Krishna. So as your affection for Krishna is there, your affection for Krishna's parts and parcels are there, especially family members. But that shouldn't lead you into a material mood. In other words, you should be clear on your relationship with your family members, how to serve them in the best possible way.
Thank you, Maharaj. So I think it's a constant.
Yeah, the family members might not have the same understanding you do, but you can't fall into that consciousness.
Thank you, Maharaj. So I think it's the constant endeavor and mindfulness about our relationship with our family members which help us interact properly.
Yeah. One should not fall down to the sentimental platform or the material bodily platform. An example would be is not giving them what they need according to the time, place, and circumstance. In other words, part of taking care of family members is to tell them no when that's the most important thing that you could say to them. Whether you become popular or not, that's not the point. You have to serve them in the best way possible. And that service is service to Krishna. As Prabhupada said, when one of my god sisters, she was doing pujari work, and she had a 2-year-old child. She sent a letter to Srila Prabhupada explaining the dilemma of trying to balance the time between pujari work and the needs of the child. Prabhupada said, he said that child worship is more important than deity worship. That's an exact quote. He said, these children are sent to us by Krishna, therefore they should get whatever they need to become Krishna conscious. At the same time, we have the responsibility to provide the material needs up to a certain age, and then we have to also teach them to become responsible also. But if there is some affection, that's not wrong. But if that affection causes one to fall into the bodily concept of life, then that will lead to making mistakes or spoiling a child or not acting in the proper way with the children. We have to get at it and make sure we don't gravitate down to the bodily conception of life. Affection is on the spiritual platform too. That's there. And you can have spiritual affection for your family members.
Thank you, Maharaj. That has helped. Thank you. Hare Bol.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is actually such a timely verse for me because I was just thinking about it this morning and last night before I went to bed. And my question is that I have come to Krishna consciousness later in my life. And so I have three children who are now young adults. And I'm very close to them. I'm very affectionate with them. And they are very accepting of Krishna consciousness. And so I don't push them, but I do, you know, try to expose them as much as possible. And I was just wondering if you could give any more tips for kind of bringing them closer to Krishna.
Generally, when they're grown up, they're all over 15 years old.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't treat them like children anymore. That's Chanaka Pandit explains from birth time to 5 years old, the children are allowed to kind of like exhibit their childlike nature. You just guide that so it doesn't cause them any problems. From 6 to 14, very strict. Very strict. This is the formative years, and this is where you really have to guide them in the right way. So being strict is actually a good service. From 15 onward, then you treat them like a friend. So treating them like a friend means to encourage them in a positive way. And one of the things that I found with children is they inviting them to go to the temple, inviting them to take part in kirtans, inviting them to cook prasadam. In other words, just bringing them into the activities of devotional service. Because you don't really have to preach to them. Of course, unless they ask you questions and you can answer. But generally, preaching to them, we usually run into a wall. The best thing is to do